And we are live from the mansion. It is me, your favorite bar owner. And shortly here, we will be joined by the pastor of pain, Corey Miller. He's coming on right now. We're going to get him on here and we are going to get right into it. It's been a busy day for Tide Sports. A lot of awards have been given out. We got my man here, Corey Miller. He is the pastor of pain, as they call it. You good? Can you hear me?
Yeah. Well, you break it up like it's like.
Oh no! I hate this. This is the worst part. The mic, it doesn't work. Can you hear it? Is it good? Better? Better? Worse? How are we doing?
Check 1, 2, 3, 4.
You got it. You hear me? Are we good now?
I can't hear you though.
Oh no, that's not good. That's not good. We're gonna have to figure out what's going on here. And let's go into the settings here. All right, can you hear this better? Is this better? Is this better working for you?
It's like.
All right, is this better, Corey? Can you hear it better now? This isn't good. Well, we're having some technical issues here. I'm not really sure.
I mean, it's very clear on the screen. I just can't hear you talking.
That's not.
I hear, but it's just muffled.
Yeah, that's not really good. Is that better, Corey? Can you hear it better now? Got to mess with some settings. Okay. How about this? Is this better?
You want me to click out and try it again?
Yeah, let's try it. Well, yeah, and let's see if it helps. Not great. Not great. Not great. We hate this. All right. Okay. So anyway, we got the pastor of pain here. We've got Corey Miller, the pastor of pain. You guys are familiar with Corey. Corey's a great friend of mine. He is, he has such a list of accolades here, man. The guy is fantastic. Played football for the New York Football Giants. He played at South Carolina. He's in the South Carolina Pro Football or South Carolina Hall of Fame. And he's a good friend of mine. He actually married me and my wife, when was that? What, 2018, right? Thank God my wife's outside. I'm struggling here. Oh, okay. So anyway, we've got him coming on. We're trying to fix our some audio issues with the stream here. And so, yeah, it's really cool. We're going to be going into the Alabama sports tonight. We've got a lot. It's been a busy day for Alabama sports today. As you guys know, we have Smitty took home the Biletnikoff. Mac Jones took home the Davey O'Brien. Alex Leatherwood took home the Outland. Did we get the Walker yet?
Yes.
The Walter Camp Award, Devontae Smith, they just announced that one. And then we've got, did Najee win something yet? Maji's about to win the Doak Walker Award. And then what did my man 69 Landon Dickerson, did he win something too? He won something? What did he win? He won the Remington? Okay, so. And then Leatherwood won the Outland. That's the best offensive lineman, right? So it's been a pretty good day for football players at the University of Alabama. I would say it's been a great season for those guys. So anyway, here we are. We're here. We're live at the mansion. Still waiting. We got Corey about to pop back on. You're gonna make sure and see if this one works. Can you hear me better? Is he able to hear me better? I hope so. Are we gonna add him back to the stream? All right, you hearing better now? Is it now? Still nothing?
Still, I think I'm gonna get on my laptop and try because it says something about an iPhone.
You're on your iPhone?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you probably need the computer. I wasn't good prepping you for it. The iPhones, they don't work very well on this stuff. So, yeah.
Yeah. Can you email me the link at pastorpayne@gmail.com?
Yeah, I'll do it. All right.
Wait a minute. You sound good now.
Oh, I'm good? We're good?
Yeah.
It's working?
Yeah.
All right, lit. That's what we love to hear. We love it. So we got Corey here, and we're just going to go into it. I don't know if you've been keeping track of all the awards today, but yeah. Alabama has been cleaning up, huh?
Yeah, the dump truck down there at Alabama.
I mean, I'm telling you. I mean, I don't know how much these awards are worth, but I would imagine it could probably pay for Nick Saban's salary for a week. You know, I mean, it's a lot of awards out here.
I know. Well, you know, I kind of expected that when you think about, I mean, what have they won? The best offensive line, you won the Heisman, you've won the all of them. I guess the one that they kind of got really people saying cheated is the kicker award, yeah. Right?
Yeah. I mean, if on the list of awards that I don't mind getting cheated out of, it's probably the kicker award.
Like, I mean, it's Alabama when the kicker's been such a problem for the last 6 years. And they got a really good kicker now, and they had a phenomenal season, and he got snubbed, but that's okay.
So you got your wall of jersey behind you. You got what? Is that you've got the Vikings, the Giants,
Vikings, and then Giants, old school Giants. That's Christian Bama, yeah. And then I got another Giants in the frame. Let's see if I can show you that.
There. Oh, that one's cool.
And then I got my helmet sitting here, Giants, yep. Gamecock, and Vikings.
Nice. And you played defensive end for what? You played, what, not 10 years?
Yeah.
Nine, 10 years?
Defensive end and outside linebacker.
And you played for those teams. And how long were you in the NFL for again?
9 years, 8 years with the Giants, 1 year with the Vikings. And, of course, hurt my neck, had a C6, C7, a disc issue, and I had to retire.
Yeah, that's tough. That's tough. So big day for Alabama sports. Big day for it's been a. You're having a. You've got so many things going on. You've got your Giants for Christ. That's your ministry that you're doing right. You're still doing the Giants for Christ and tell us more about that.
Yeah, you know, right now I took a job back in November, a ministry called Unpacking It, which is a sports ministry that caters to sport fans. And even they do fantasy football. They have a Turkey Bowl game up in Charlotte. We do a Super Bowl Sunday breakfast or Saturday a men's breakfast where we minister to men. And it's really a neat ministry. I'm the director of outreach, so I do a lot of the outreach stuff, speaking outside of the ministry, going places, FCA, high school teams. Hopefully, eventually I'll get down to be one of the spiritual advisors for South Carolina. That's a goal there. But Giants for Christ is still in play. You know, that's a ministry that I focus heavily on with men. We do what we call packs, you know, 5 to 7 men. Trying to find leaders, develop leaders for that. That they meet together once a month, twice a month, and try to encourage each other. You know, it's all based on being spiritually strong leaders as a husband, as a father, and then in the community, and by sharing and spreading the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. But it's still sports based. We know how many people love sports. I know how much you love them, and you know, all the folks that come to the mansion, you know, huge sports fans. And
we love them.
Yeah, it's such a beautiful thing.
We love them. And sports are just so important because, and it's amazing how many people you meet because of sports, you know. And I am so glad that, you know, I was able to meet you through the mansion. It's been, you've been such a blessing to my life, and I know my wife's life. I was telling people before about how you were the one that actually married me and my wife, which was so cool. You're probably the most swole pastor I've ever seen, you know. But it was just, it was such a cool weekend and such a cool time. And I've known you for so long, and you're so passionate about all these sports. And so I want to get into it because you've got some, you have some takes, man. I mean, people say I've got takes, but I mean, you've got some takes. Let me be.
I learned from you the best, man.
Yeah.
You know, crazy takes, brother.
Boy, I mean, whoo, because this man's got some takes. So let's get into it. So so you're a South Carolina guy. Are you excited about Beamer?
I am excited about Shane Beamer. You know, I had a conversation with him a couple of weeks ago, of course, talking about, you know, being a part of that just group that comes in and helps him, support group. And for me, I don't want to coach, but I love to coach spiritually and be able to help the guys and offer an impact of their lives on the field and off the field. So we look to talk more about that here in the near future. But I think he's going to do a great job. He's motivated. He's a guy that wants to be at the University of South Carolina. He's very familiar because he coached here. So, you know, the bad news today, we're talking about coaches and everything else. I mean, we lose Mike Bobo, who was the interim coach. Will Muschamp hired him as offensive coordinator. He goes to Auburn, so they have hired him. And then the Will Friend that came from Tennessee, the offensive line coach of South Carolina. So Auburn has hired him today as well. So, you know, he's now lost two of his coaches that he's hired, so he's got to fill that void. And Derek Mason, the defense coordinator, was the head coach at Vanderbilt, is now the defense coordinator at Auburn. So Auburn, and he was on the guy they really wanted to be the coordinator. So, but I think Shane's gonna do a phenomenal job. I think, you know, we got everything, the fan base, you got all the facilities, you got everything in order to win here. Just got to go and do, you know, lace your bootstraps up and go to work.
So you, I mean, you're very involved in South Carolina, and because that's your alma mater. But you're also really involved at UA because your son was Christian Miller, who played here. What is it like being a parent? I mean, because I see a lot of these parents on social media. You know, I see a lot of them. What is it like being a parent of one of these kids? That's, you know, Christian was like, Christian was a high four star. Everybody wanted him. You know, what is it like dealing with, because, you know, social media is a big thing. What is it like being a parent and being, you know, with having a kid that highly recruited?
You know, for me, it was fun, you know, because one thing that made it easy being a parent of Christian, because he was such a humble kid, and he understood the process. He understood, you know, what was marked out in front of him. He knew that, you know, he was a kid that wasn't ready to come right in and play. We knew he had plenty of talent. He had a great upside. And Coach Saban knew that. Kirby Smart knew that. Chris Rump, when he was here, knew that. But this was a great place to come in and to develop, learn the game of football, get in that weight room. You know, when Cochran was here, you know, just lift, game, put the weight on that you need. Add to the already ability that God has blessed him with. So, and he was humble. He wasn't a big social media kid. He didn't get all the hype with all that stuff. He just worked and he embraced the process. And for me, it was great. I love, you know, that's how we met, coming down, hanging out at the mansion and watching games and, you know, the great place with all the TVs. I go to sleep in the recliner all the time.
Yeah, you know,
you know, it's just, it was like the family atmosphere in which I loved. And, you know, and I think, you know, with Christian and I, you know, it was always a great behind-the-scenes relationship. We didn't, you know, put stuff out there during the game and what happened here there. We talked afterwards, and he really made it easy as a parent because of his humility. But I love the fact that he made his decision. We embraced that, being here. You know how many times I've driven up down I-20, back and forth, sometimes tired, leaving TV and driving there the next morning early. So But I wouldn't change a bit of it, man. God was so, so good in those 5 years there. And I'm a Bama fan. I tell people here now. I mean, I you would think I played there.
Yeah.
I'm a fan of Alabama. I'm an alumni of South Carolina, but I love the University of Alabama.
And you're in the and you're in the South Carolina Hall of Fame.
I'm five miles from the stadium.
Yeah. I mean, you're a huge Gamecock.
Yeah.
And you're it is cool how you I've watched you change into an Alabama fan, you know. You still hate Clemson. And
that's how things never change, right?
Yeah, that's never gonna change. I think you're rubbing off on Alabama's fan base. Najee Harris just won the Doak Walker Award, by the way, for those people watching. Big news for that. Very, very deserving. Your hatred of Clemson's really been meshing with Alabama fans lately. You know, all the times we've had. I mean, what is this? It's three times Alabama's played Clemson.
Four. Yeah.
Jesus, it's been four. I'm getting old. And it's split 2-2, right? And so we're looking for that tiebreaker fifth match.
They didn't want that smoke this year, though.
I don't think so. But I will say this. You know, they were talking about delaying the playoff game, and we're going to get into Alabama versus OSU later in the thing. But they were talking about delaying the playoff game because Justin Fields has a rib injury. I'm sorry, because Ohio State has COVID issues. I'm sorry. Let me make sure that I'm actually accurate here. It has nothing to do with Justin Fields having his ribs destroyed. It has
nothing at all
to do with COVID, right? Because the Big Ten is bent over backwards to accommodate, Ohio State. It has nothing to do with Justin Fields' ribs. I'm sure it has nothing to do with that. So let's just get that out of the way. But all that to say, they were going to push the game back, not because of Justin Fields' ribs. But, Clemson had to play that game without Tony Elliott, their offensive coordinator. And I really thought that I felt like that game was a lot worse because Tony wasn't there. Because I think he's a great play caller. And I mean, the plays they were calling looked awful. So I don't know. I think the game's different if they play with Tony Elliott calling plays.
I don't think so. Because what happened was the domination in the trenches. Clemson's offensive line was dominated. They got pushed back. Trevor Lawrence on the fire the entire night. I mean, they won a ton of sacks, but they made him very uncomfortable. He could not run the ball. That was a big thing in last year's game, remember? After that first quarter and a half, he began to run the ball, and it opened everything else for that Clemson offense. So, and then on the defensive side, they dominated as well. I mean, so defensive end, the offensive line, pushed their defensive ends around. They opened up gaps. It was just really domination in the trenches, and Clemson shown flaws. I've been talking about Reagan all year long. The back end, the fact that if they got challenged, that was a problem. And if you go back and watch the first half of the Boston College game, if you go back and watch even Syracuse game in those first couple of quarters, offensively, they had a lot of success against Clemson's defense. I thought Ohio State, though they only played six games at the time, we knew that they were very talented. We knew that they had players. I mean, they've been recruiting their butts off. So you knew they had it. But I think what Dabo said, putting them at 11th in his poll, talking about, he basically didn't have a lot of respect for them based on the season that they had up to that point. I think losing the game last year, that score was on their weight room, on their TV monitor for over a year at least. So they felt like they were a better team. They'd never beaten Clemson. They've been dominated by Clemson. They felt like they had the best team last year, and they made some mistakes. They felt like they got bad calls, with a scoop and score. So I think all of that went into them wanting to prove a point, and Justin Fields just played out of his brains, right? The dude was amazing. It showed a tremendous toughness after he got that hit in his ribs and coming back and playing in that ball game. But this is a good football team. I mean, they have talent. I don't know if they can beat Alabama, but I think it's going to definitely be a very interesting game.
Okay. All right. And we're going to circle back to that because I want to talk about the game. I want to talk about – because we're going to build up to that. That's going to be the the final, we're going to build up to that. Okay.
Gotcha.
All right, so let's talk about the big news this week. Steve Sarkisian goes to the University of Texas. Okay. We got Sark. We don't know who's coming in. How do you think Sark leaving affects Alabama going during this week? Because everybody says, you know, every time Alabama's lost a national championship, somebody important's left, you know, like when Lane left that second Clemson game, when Kirby left, when Locks took the Maryland job, every time that there's been really a loss in these games, it's been a coordinator position going. So a lot of people are a little bit worried because, you know, this looks like it could be a recipe for disaster.
You know, I don't really worry about it because I think the fact that, one, the game is played quick, you know, he work's going to be the same for him. Play call's not going to change. I think, you know, that debacle, I remember being at the game in Tampa when they lost to Deshaun Watson. You know, Alabama beat them out in the West Coast of the Phoenix. And they played again in Tampa. I mean, I went back a couple of weeks ago. Like, Alabama shouldn't have lost a game in 5 years. You look at all the players. I was looking at the roster, man. That whole defense is playing in the league. The first two deep is playing in the league. And they just had a breakdown in the second half of that game. It wasn't even an issue, the one that Sark called, I believe. I mean, offensively, they did enough. Jalen went down and gave him the lead, and defense didn't hold up, and which is shocking to me. The defense didn't hold up. But I think in this particular situation, I don't like it because I think, you know, right when they get ready to go play a national championship, this announcement is made. Like, couldn't they have waited till afterwards? I mean, they just got the early signing period over, so you ain't got to really worry about that. So he has time to get there, start his staff, and, you know, he can make phone calls. You know he's doing all that stuff.
Yeah.
While he's still working at Alabama. But I think Sark has been there. He's been in a situation when they basically told Lane he couldn't coach. He had to take over. I think he's prepared. He's a different guy, man. And, you know, when you listen to him and you see him where he is today versus 2 or 3 years ago, the maturity factor, that he's dealt with his demons. I think, you know, he's in prime position to be extremely successful. And I think right now he wants to go to Texas with that ring. I mean, he's got a guy, and now he's going to say, hey, man, I got a guy at a Heisman Trophy.
You know,
he got that. Now he's going to go and say, hey, man, I got a national championship and maybe the best offense in the history of Alabama football. So you want to be able to take that and wear that ring, even though it's got the A on it, you want to wear that ring to recruits' living room and say, hey,
yeah,
this is my doing. And so I think this game is important for him to finish off. I mean, they got all these offensive awards, best offensive line, best tackle, best center, best quarterback, best receiver, best running back. What a freaking year. You got the best quarterback, best running back, best receiver, best offensive line, best center, best offensive tackle.
Yeah.
Everything. So he gets to go there with all that on his resume.
Yeah. I mean, that's insane.
Yeah. You know, has that ever been done?
I think what's amazing to me, though, is even with all of that success, you look at Nick Saban, and the man's won what? The man has won five natties with 4.5 different OCs. I mean, you know, four to five. You know, they've been some co-offensive coordinators. You know, but I mean, he's won it with Locks, with Lane, with Dable, with Doug Nussmeier, and you know, the shark guy, Jim McElwain, you know him. You remember the shark video. We all remember the shark video. So, with those guys, and those guys, they run all different offenses. And now, you know, you got a chance to win, what is it, 6 with 5 different offensive coordinators with Sark. And, I mean, like, I guess Sark and Lane kind of run the same offense. But I think it's amazing that no matter who the OC is, it still works. Like how, what is that? I mean, like, Saban's amazing, but how incredible is that to have all these different guys, and some of them run these boring ass offenses with Greg McElroy and AJ McCarron, you know, And then, you know, the locks with Jalen and Tua and Sark with Mac Jones. I mean, it's incredible, isn't it? I mean, it's wild.
Well, I think when you look at all the talent, every coach will tell you, Reagan, you know, it's easy to really dial up plays and coach when you got ballers. I mean, you got Jimmys and Joes, and I think whoever comes in the next OC, I mean, you got a plethora of this crazy talent that you sit there going, man, hey, phew, you know, man, what do I want to do with this thing? So, you know, it makes it pretty easy for a guy to come in there and put together some success. I mean, when Locks was our boy, you know, we hung out all the time. We knew when he put up those numbers, you know, and you come back and go, man, Mac Jones, his story's incredible. I remember Jim Furyk, a good friend of mine, telling me about Mac Jones. He went to Bowl High School, I believe, down in Jacksonville. And he was this little skinny, frail kid. And I'm like, man, he's a Alabama with my son. He's like, yeah, but can he really play there? And he, to see him, finishing third in the Heisman, winning the best quarterback, the O'Brien. I mean, to see, again, somebody embracing the process, not afraid to compete, not afraid to win this turn. I mean, then you get that guy who's not a five-star guy, didn't have 30 offers. So you got that guy winning the champ. So that's just the program. I mean, the fact of being a parent and seeing this program, Reagan, inside and out, from the weight room, from all the support system to academics. I mean, everything that they do is in the spirit of excellence. And if you are an athlete and you want to really be successful on and off the field, there's no better place, because that's the job that Nick Saban does. And he's got a factory for coaches that had issues, right? I mean, my man Charlie Strong's there. Yeah. I know very well. He's go to church here in South Carolina together. The D coordinator with Spurrier here.
Yeah.
At South Carolina, he goes, bounces around to Louisville, end up getting a Texas job. And, you know, then boom, South Florida. Now he's back here at Tuscaloosa. He's going to be a head coach again.
Yeah.
You got that guy sitting right there. Who knows? Maybe Gus Malzahn. Maybe Chad Morris will end up in the coach's factory there. Because it's proven, if Lane can do it, that, you know, no matter what kind of trouble or issues you've had, come to the factory and get healed, get rejuvenated, and opportunities will come and knock it again.
Well, I think it's wild on these coordinators is that you have so many of these guys that like you said, they had a lot of problems. And I think for a lot of people, it's kind of like, okay, you know, we've had all these coordinators and a lot of them had a lot of problems, and it's the Alabama rehab clinic for coaches. And, you know, it's that's the joke that a lot of these guys say. They're coming to rehab. I mean, I've heard them say it. Yeah. You know, wouldn't it be nice to not have to hire a rehab coach? Like I'm going to be honest, like for the offensive coordinator position, they're talking about, you know, Adam Gase. I seen Adam Gase at the Jets. I seen Adam Gase at the Bears. I've seen Adam Gase in the Dolphins. I'm not a huge fan of his offenses. I think they're boring. I think they're terrible. I think he had a great offense when he had Peyton Manning. And I got to be honest with you, I think I could call a pretty good offense with Peyton Manning. But, you know,
Peyton Manning probably called the plays.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I saw Peyton Manning out there, Omaha, Omaha, Omaha. You know, okay. Like, I'd love to see Alabama go after the guy at Florida. I think he's a great play caller. And, you know, and if he goes to Alabama, you know, probably gets a head coaching job real quick. You know, I'd like to see – it's like we've seen Alabama develop all these defensive guys. We've seen them develop defensive coordinators. You know, the turnover for the DC position hasn't been nearly what it is, and it's been guys that have been promoted from within the staff. I'd like to see some development of that on the offense. I understand what he's doing, and this is me being a fan, but you know, I would like to see, you know, maybe for once we get a guy that's going to be there for a few years that's not, you know, that's not a project, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think, you know, Coach, you know, he's very peculiar and particular who he brings in and who's going to fit, you know, because that's big with him. And it takes really, man, somebody that's strong to come through that factory because, you know, we know how hard coach is on assistant coaches. And you know, it's a humbling experience because you've been a head coach. You've been the person that's been in control. You've had to be that CEO of a team, and now you got to sit back and get drilled and listen to coach get on you. So, but it's shown that if you're humble and if you just go through that, man, this guy's the best they've ever been, in my opinion. And so to learn and grow from him, which, you know, Sark's talking about it, Locks, everybody gives him the credit because he knows what he's doing. I mean, he's winning championships. He's doing the recruiting. Nothing. I mean, it's the whole thing, Reagan. It's the how do you run an organization, so to speak. And they sit there and they get to watch him from the training room, from the nutrition room to the weight room, from, you know, bringing in these excellent speakers, the doctors that getting guys treated and back on the field to everything. I mean, so you get to see and learn, and then now you say, man, that works. Because the guy, think about it, you're in business. I'm sure you look at those that have had some very successful cigar businesses, and it may not take it everything, but there's something I can pluck from that to be successful, right? There's something I can learn and grow from that. Yeah. And I think it's the same thing with these coaches, and then now they take it and put their spin to it, and a lot of them have a chance to be successful.
And it's been amazing. I mean, like, Saban's offense has changed so much over the years. I mean, it's, you know, it's not just let's just power back it and have a noodle arm quarterback, like a Greg McElroy or AJ McCarron. You know, let's have, like, they're throwing bombs now. I mean,
well, you have to, because one thing I remember talking to Coach one time, you know, defensively, you know, it was all about the defense, right? We're going to shut people down. We're going to hold them to 9, 12 points. We can score 22, 28 points and win because the defense was so daggum good.
Yeah.
You know, you can't do that now because the game has changed so much and evolved into a place that, regardless of everybody talking about the defense, it ain't the kids. They can play. The problem is that the system now affords offenses to take advantage of every nook and cranny on the defense.
Yeah.
You know, these RPOs and, you know, somebody's going to be running open. So you have to decide, you know, am I going to sit back, play soft coverage? I'm going to play too high zone. I'm going to give up some throws and try to tighten things down in the red zone. You know, and you end up giving up 400 or 500 yards to extremely good offenses like Ole Miss they did early on in the year, like Florida, who had the, you know, talent to match their talent on offense. I mean, so you give up yards and you say, hey, defense, I just need you to make some stops. Give me enough stops in this game because our offense is so good, we're going to score. So, yeah, you look at the stat sheet, you go, Alabama, well, they're not the same. Of course not, because they don't ask them to be the same. Right. They just say, hey, give up the enough stops, get off the field when we need to get off the field. We're going to win games because our offense is that good. Now you had to change because, you know, you got to be able to keep up. Nick Saban's old offense had played this Florida's offense, they would have lost.
Yeah.
If they couldn't keep up.
Yeah.
So, and I think you see that across the board. How many dominant defenses? We talk about Brent Venables. I went back the last two games of the playoffs. Clemson lost to LSU in the national championship game. They gave up 629 yards.
Right.
40-something points, right?
Yeah.
Against Ohio State, 49 points, 639 or 38 yards. So when you play teams that got that offensive type of firepower, you're going to give up some plays. So you better have something on the offensive side that can match or be better, and hopefully your defense come up with a turnover or stop here and there to give you that opportunity to win games. So that's what Coach Saban had to do. He know this is what works. I got to change. I love to just hand the ball off to these big power backs and get 3 yards in a cloud of dust. But guess what? That's not going to win. I may beat 90% of the teams, but I can't get to where I need to get to unless I got some firepower on board. He has some firepower, especially with Jalen Waddle out there practicing now. He comes back, even if you don't play, but 20% of the time, it's going to make Ohio State think, well, we're going to have to change some things. So if you get him back, man.
Yeah. And I love what you're saying because, like, and I'm laughing over here because you literally went perfectly into what I wanted to talk about next.
I saw your script.
Oh, okay. I didn't even know if you saw it. But the script is you did it perfectly. It's seamless. You did it great. You must do this regularly. It's almost
every
like
now
you've been on TV and radio before. But Pete Golding, they hate him on Twitter.com, man. They don't like him. I love Pete. I mean, right. I remember when Pete we had this brand new sofa. Pete burned a hole in it, you know. But I love Pete. I think he's great. You know, I think my favorite thing about social media is always that first drive over reaction on Twitter. You know, when they come out and it's the scripted plays and they march down the field and they score a lot of times. And it's like, oh, well, here we go again. Here Pete goes again. You know, how do you spoke the truth here. They're going to give up points. So, I mean, like, how do you think of Pete as a defensive coordinator and as a play caller right now?
Listen, I want to tell every Alabama fan this is hard on Pete. He can't, it's not his job to get out there. He can't play. He's made calls this season. I mean, you know, I watch every game like a coach.
Yeah.
Those guys have made this probably, I bet if I ask Coach Saban, is this the most mental errors that you've had on the defense in all your years coaching Alabama? I bet the answer would be yes. Yeah. There have been so many mental errors, guys running free, blown coverages. Now, they have gotten better at that. I don't know if they simplified the scheme. It is almost shocking to me that the amount of mistakes that they have made defensively. That's not a talent issue. That's a mind issue. Maybe that's a lack of preparation issue. Maybe they need to study the playbook a little bit more. You know, when you're getting all these motions and shifts and things like that, and guys got to, you got to be able to think and be ready to make these adjustments because coverages may change, run fits may change, and you have to know in advance. I did a devotion the other week, and I talked about being able to understand what's going to happen before it happens. You know, that comes from study. You know, anticipation is key. And if you are able to anticipate as a football player, when you see formations or see certain motions, you know what's going to happen before it's going to happen, and it allows you to play the game faster. It allows you to get to a position quicker. You'll get in that gap, and that guy can't block you, but you have to understand and know what's happening before it happens. So, you know, I don't see a lot of that this year. I see a lot of guys looking and talking and trying to figure out what's happening before the play and the ball is snapped. That's not good from a defensive standpoint. I know it's not a talent issue. I know that they got players that can play, but they got to play smarter. They got to understand. And when they play in this game this week, next week, with Ohio State, they're going to do some different things. And they want to get that cheap touchdown. They want to get a guy out of position. In the run game, if your run fits, if this guy's supposed to be in the C gap and he ends up going in the B gap and you got two guys in the B gap, that linebacker, you're going to get gashed.
Yeah.
So that's what I've seen all season. So I don't think it's a Pete issue. I think it's an issue that the players got to put this on their back. They got to have a leader, Reagan. They got to have an alpha dog, right? They got to have a Rashawn Evans or a guy like Ryan was. I mean, guys that are getting the face and say, man, this is unacceptable.
Yeah.
I don't see that. I think this is what Alabama is missing defense. I don't see that dude. That say, this is my defense, and we got to go out here and ball. And you know what? You mess it up, I'm going to tell you about it. Coach, I'm going to have to tell you about it. I'm going to tell you about it. And the other issue is, in the tackle position, besides Barmore, you know, I don't see a lot of effective play. The young guy, 50, comes in, he's pretty good, but they got to get better play in those A gaps, the B gaps from their tackles, and that helps out the linebacker. So, you know, it's not a bad defense, and they went for that stretch, right, 6-7 games. They were good. But Florida, Ole Miss, you look at those games and you go, whoa, you know, but they still haven't given up 100-yard just Ole Miss game. I don't think they've given up 100-yard rush in a while. So we'll see if that trend continues with Ohio State.
Because Ohio State's got a good runner.
Yeah. Like,
I mean, that Sermon guy, I watched him versus Northwestern. I watched him versus Clemson.
He's a real deal.
Yeah, Ohio State's been putting out some good runners especially, you know, since 2014. I mean, Ezekiel Elliott, J.K. Dobbins, and now Sermon. I mean, it looks like Master Teague the third isn't going to be playing in this game.
What a great name. If he plays like his name, it's going to be phenomenal.
I mean, Master Teague the third. Yeah, I mean, it's a great name. I hope obviously it's a family name. I probably would keep that one going until all the way down Master Teague the 69th.
I love it.
Yeah. Saban's been through, you know, we talked about how he's had all these different offensive coordinators. You know, this is his third, different defensive coordinator. We have Kirby and Pruitt and Golding. Yeah. So like, what does Pete do differently, or how is this off? I mean, nobody wants to believe that this is the same defense, but is this the same defense as Kirby's and Jeremy's, or what has Pete brought that's different to this defense as opposed to the other DCs?
Well, I think it's the same concepts, you know. I think, you know, back in the day, they got to play a little bit differently because the offenses are differently. And now they're getting a good mix, you know, like last week against Notre Dame. Now you're playing a totally different, you know, offense than Florida, right? Florida spreads you out five wide. They use their backs out of the backfields on those wheel routes. Then you play Notre Dame, who likes to go 13 personnel, one, you know, back three tight ends or 12 personnel. You know, they like that. And now you go into a team in Ohio State, you're going to get a combo. So I think, you know, the defense is definitely prepared. It's not the same with Jeremy and Kirby, but it's going to have the basically the foundation is the same. They just got to, because now you're playing a lot of different offenses, you got to be able to make those adjustments. Because most times you're playing nickel really all the time, you know, some version of a 4-2-5.
Yeah.
Extra safety in the ball game. And they trained their outside linebackers, you know this, you know, like to be an end/ linebacker. So I like what they're doing. I think, you know, the corners are solid because they lost some good safety play last year.
Yeah.
But you still got Patrick Surtain, who a lot of people believe that he's the best corner in college football. He don't get a lot of action on his side. And you got Job, who's a solid corner as well. I think the safety position battle, those guys are good players still learning and growing. Dylan, you know, Christian Harris. I mean, these are guys who played a lot of snaps at the linebacker position. Dylan was an All-American before his knee, and I could tell he hadn't been healthy really all year because that had been himself, you know, but he's kind of getting there now. So they've got talent on that side of the ball, and I think Pete's doing a good job. I mean, he's just living in the shadows of two great coordinators, right? You got Kirby, what he's doing at Georgia, all that speed he got. We got Jeremy, who did a great job while he was here.
Yeah.
So you're looking at these pretty good defensive coordinators that was there. They're now head coaches. But I just remember what Coach Saban, what he thought of Pete. He loves him. He thought he's going to be the next rising star defensively.
Yeah.
And I think he hasn't done a bad job. But if you're trying to – and it's like the experts on the ESPN and SiriusXM, they're not the same. No, they're not the same defense. But they still have some excellent players on this defense that can make plays at any time. So I feel confident that they'll be good enough in this national championship game.
Yeah. And so going into the national championship game, what do you think, Lord, looking at the defense, what do you think Alabama's biggest flaw defensively is matching up with Ohio State?
A lot of people are going to say stopping the run. But, again, I go back to the Ole Miss shredded them in the run game, but it was because of mistakes.
Yeah.
Not talent. You know, Notre Dame had a really good running game. When you got a running quarterback with Ian Book and you got that really nice freshman running back they had, they still didn't give up 100 yards.
Yeah.
So you're looking at Ohio State, a healthy Fields, I would say, okay, that's the kind of run game that's giving Alabama a problem, right? And you got a quarterback that can run and that type of – he's not going to be running the football.
I'm telling you
right now, he's going to be shot up. His ribs – I mean, I wouldn't be shocked if he had a cracked rib or whatnot.
Yeah.
And I think he's going to be a little bit one-dimensional. So I don't think he's going to be a big threat in the run game. So if I'm Alabama, you know, I might bring that safety down. I'm going to take the run game away. course, Ohio State uses tight ends who can catch the ball, so that's a problem too. But this type of offense, Alabama seems to do a pretty good job against. It's yeah. the ones, the offense that scared me was like Lane Kiffin.
Yeah.
Triple teams and people that go fast, and these guys start making mistakes. Ohio State doesn't scare me too much from a defense standpoint. I really believe they match up great. I think the defensive line matches up against Ohio State's offensive line. You know, they're good on the outside. I will let Patrick Surtain travel as a corner. I'm a lock down your best receiver. I like Dylan Jones and Dylan Moses and Christian Harris playing those tight ends. They speed, their athleticism. I like that matchup. So I think Alabama matches up great. And that's why I think they're going to win this game by 10 points or so.
Okay. So we got Alabama, Ohio State, the big one. This will be I lose track. This will be Alabama's going for number 18. This will be Nick's, what, eighth,
seventh?
I lose track. It's so many.
This will put him ahead of the Bear.
Yeah, wild, right?
He's got to get it done. And this is the year, bro. You got all these awards. You get,
all these
awards. It will be sad that if you don't finish this year with a championship.
It'd be absolutely wild because Nick Saban will always and forever be known as a defensive guy. But on his seventh national championship, it'll be because of the offense that wins this game, I think. So we got Alabama minus -8. The over-under is 75, so they think that it's going to be a shootout.
I don't think so.
They got it about 38. Alabama's over-under for their offense is 38. Ohio State's is 31. Or 33, excuse me. It's 38-33 is what Vegas has it currently. So you say Alabama by 10.
I say Alabama wins by 10, and I will take the under because I think Alabama's defense, as much as we talked about the offense, the one position group that's not getting awards is the defense. Nobody's getting an award, maybe Patrick Surtain, but nobody's talking about the defense except negative.
Yeah.
Look for the defense to step up, make some plays, turn Ohio State over, and be a key cog in this football game. Therefore, Alabama wins 10 plus or more, and I think you take the under because I don't think it's going to be a Florida-Alabama type of game because I don't think Ohio State have that type of offense that can score. They did against Clemson, but Clemson defense was a train wreck.
Yeah.
And Clemson defensive line, it's not going to happen against Ohio State will not score like Florida did. It's not going to happen.
So you're taking Clemson on the – or you're taking Ohio State under 33 too?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So
they might score 28. They might score 30, but they're not going to score 33.
So it's a battle of quarterbacks. You got the – what could be the number one overall pick. People are talking about the Jags hiring Urban Meyer and then drafting Justin Fields. Could have number one overall pick. Could have the guy that arguably should have won the Heisman. I don't think he should have finished third. I think he should have finished second if he didn't win it. I think he should have at least been second. So you've got Mac Jones versus Justin Fields. Is this a defensive coordinator's nightmare having these two type of quarterbacks going against each other? If Fields was healthy, you know.
Well, I think, you know, Mac Jones is just so great and so smart. I mean, the dude's a technician and great mechanics. He understands his ability. You know, he's a Charlie check down guy. He's not afraid. Hey, if I can't get him on a deep post, I'll dump it down to Najee and get him one-on-one, the linebacker, let him, you know, jump 18 feet over the corner. So I think Fields is an excellent football player, but I think the system and the weaponry that Alabama has, where you got to pick your poison. If you want to play 8 in the box to stop the run, or you want to, especially like I said, Waddle comes back, you know, who you going to take away? And this is a defensive coordinator nightmare because I got a running back. Not only can just run the ball, he's a great receiver out of the backfield as well, as we saw with Florida. They're going to flex him out. And now you got all these different calls off of that. That's why Steve Sarkisian's excellent play caller, and he puts the defense in such terrible and horrible positions that they got to make a decision. And so this is going to be the issue, I think, with Ohio State. They've had problems all year. Yeah, they showed up and played against Clemson. And I'm proud and I'm happy and I'm thankful that they did because I didn't want to see the orange in Miami. But listen, Alabama is going to be Alabama. This is going to be a special year that we're going to all remember that how great this team was. And I think at the end of the day, with all the great teams that they've had in Alabama, this may be the greatest team that Nick Saban has ever had. And one thing that I took notice to, he says, ever. I like this team.
Yeah.
Meaning they are mentally, emotionally, this is a team don't have a lot of individuals. When your best players are your hardest workers.
Yeah.
When you got Devontae, you got Mac, you got Najee, you got that offensive line. When your best players are your leaders and are setting the tempo and they said they're the hardest workers, brother, you can expect special things. And that's why I think this team will win the national championship.
All right. Okay. I like it. I like where your head's at. I like where you're going here. All right. So Sean Wade comes out today, the cornerback for Ohio State. He's arguably their best corner. Guy's in the discussion for one of the top corners to be drafted next year. They like him at the next level. He comes out today and he says, you know, who I want to be covering on Monday night. And he's talking about Devontae Smith. How, you know, there's been so much talk about bulletin board material this offseason, especially with, you know, Ohio State players, they love to run their mouth. You know, Chase Young ran his mouth about Tom Brady, you know, and here we go. Sean Wade saying, I want to cover Smitty. Does that really affect you as a player? Is that something that you actually look at and say, you know, they disrespected me on social media or in their interviews? Or is that just, do you even pay that, you know, because Smitty said he didn't want to get into it, you know, and I like what he said. But is that something that really affects you as a player?
No, not at all. I mean, because you got a job to do. You know, it's an emotional game. We know that. We know that it's going to be, and though the fans not going to be in the stands like normal, but we know this thing is going to be emotional. And Smitty's not going to play into that. He's going to keep doing what he's doing. Nobody stopped him all year. He knows what he's capable of. The guy works hard. And he's going to have great success. So you can say all that. That when you got a guy talking, that's the guy that's nervous. That's the guy that's normally trying to find some confidence, trying to find something for himself to give him the motivation to go out there and play at an extremely high level. The guy that doesn't talk is that silent killer. That's Devontae Smith, right? He ain't going to say that. Anything from Alabama history, Reagan, those guys don't talk a lot. They just go play.
Yeah.
You can say all you want to. You can put a news article on the wall. That doesn't play the game. You know, you just go out there and play, man. And at the end of the game, when it's all over, guess what? It'll speak for itself.
Yeah.
So those guys not getting wrapped up into that. They're trying to get in the head of Alabama because they're nervous. They know the giant that they're going up against. They know the ability of these guys across. They watch the film. And so, listen, Alabama is not shying down. They're going to come ready to play. And I promise you, Coach Saban's talking about them finishing. And that's what I love about Devontae. He talked about nobody believed in him. He was too skinny. He was too small. Wasn't strong enough. Wasn't big enough. He put his faith and trust in our holy Lord, and he went to work. And then look at him. He came back. He could have left early. He wanted to finish. So the message that I'm sure Nick Saban is saying to his football team, hey, this has been great. Everybody's talking about us, but it doesn't mean a hill of beans if we don't go out there and finish. This season has been great. All the awards is great. But if you don't finish this game Monday night, all that goes down the drain. They got one big goal. And that goal is to be the ones that hoist the trophy with the confetti falling on your head Monday night. And that they can't get wrapped up into what Ohio State says or what some guy. It don't matter. Be who you are. Do what you've been doing. And you'll come away successful.
I like it. I hope so. So this is, again, we're going for number 7, going for number 18. An incredible – I mean, it's just been – it's just been incredible. It's been an incredible run. I don't think we'll ever see a run like this again. I don't know. I mean, I'd love it if Liberty did it. I think, you know, it'd be great. Maybe, you know.
Appreciate y'all knocking off Coastal Carolina.
Yeah, that was awesome. I got tired of hearing that. Great, yeah. Some idiot actually had, it was Pat Forty. Pat Ford, 40 Ford, I don't know.
40.
Idiot. Had Ian McCall as his number three Heisman guy. I guess he didn't watch Ian McCall lose to Liberty in the Cure Bowl, because I did, and I froze my ass off down there. But I enjoyed that. I was really glad that Hugh Freeze didn't go to South Carolina. You know, they were talking about that, and I'm really glad he stayed at the Mountain. So I'm really excited about that. So we've got this game, and we've been talking about it. Mac Jones, 350 yards passing, yes or no?
Yes.
Okay. Najee Harris, over 100 yards?
Yes.
Smitty, over 150.
The trifecta will do what they've been doing.
Yeah. Okay. Does Jaylen Waddle play?
Yes.
Okay. If you're here, this is the other thing. People say, you know, it's Jaylen Waddle's decision. You know, we see so many of these guys opt out. Now that's the new thing, right? They got the injuries and they're like, oh, you know, well, I don't really want to hurt my draft stock. What do you say to the, you did it with, you had, Christian had some problems, you know, some health issues, you know, he had some injuries. You know, if you're Jaylen Waddle, you want to play, right? I mean, this is
absolutely. If this was the Chick-fil-A Bowl game, no way.
Yeah,
this is the national championship. I mean, guys are opting out because, you know, I hate to say it, but you know, they look at a regular bowl game as meaningless.
Yeah.
But when you talk about a national championship game, if you can get back and get healthy, listen, Christian had a hamstring. He tried his best to get back for the national championship game.
Yeah.
Against Clemson 3 years ago.
And it was a great, I remember Christian posted that video.
Yeah.
It was like a WWE video. He was like coming out of the grave.
That's in you, but, you know, had that been something different, you know, you're not going to go that hard to get just a regular bowl game.
Yeah.
Because Jaylen Waddle is going to be a first round pick regardless. And you're talking about an ankle. He's back. I mean, and listen, one thing I know, Reagan, is, you know, Jeff Allen, Dr. Kane, those people at the University of Alabama, the medical staff are the best in the world. And when it comes to college athletics, and maybe even with the pros,
yeah,
they take care of their players. They're not going to allow a kid, even if they say this is his decision, they're not putting him on that field if they didn't think he was ready. Coach Saban's not going to put him on that field if they don't think he's ready. Or if he's got potential to injure himself worse. If he's on the field dressed out, that means they said, hey, he's good to go to play. Now, from when you talk about injuries, it's all about comfort. You know, it's all about, okay, am I going to try? I'm assuming he can probably sprint full speed right now. You know, the question going to be, do you trust to make them hard cuts when you're coming out of that break? You know, when you go that post corner route, when you go that dig route, can you get to top end speed, drop those knees and hips down and break up out of that route and putting that stress and that pressure on your lower leg? That's going to be the thing that he has to feel comfortable with. But I can tell you, from a player in the national championship game, your last game, you got a chance to go out and win a ring with your brothers. You're going to give everything you got, because this is not like a knee. This is an ankle. So I don't think the NFL is worried too much about that. You know, so I think if he plays, if they give him the decision to make, that means I think he's in pretty good shape to go out and at least be somewhat effective. Listen, even if he don't catch a ball, if you put him out there in the slot, if you motion him around, that means the defense got to make some adjustments, because they don't know, is he full speed, if he's 70%, if he's 100%. You know, he can be the biggest decoy in the game, because you're going to, if he's on the field 17, believe me, they got to make some huge adjustments with that secondary, and that could benefit Alabama just as good. But I think he's ready to go.
I hope so. I hope so. From your mouth, from your lips to God's ears, I hope he's. I hope he's. I hope he's ready. He's got to be the most elect. He's one of the most electric players I've ever watched.
I think he's the most.
Yeah, I mean,
when you think about the return game, punting and kickoffs, and what he can do running after the catch, man.
Yeah, I mean, he's up there for me with, you know, a Percy Harvin, a Peter Warwick, Deion Sanders, the guy, I mean, you know, the guy, he does it all. I hope he gets to play. I really do.
I think we'll see him.
I hope so. I think the other guys, he's such a good kid. You know, I mean, like, that's what everybody, that's the one thing that I love about this team that we've been talking about with Saban saying, you know, it's awesome to coach a team where the best guys on your team are the best players. Or he said it, maybe he said the best players on the team are the best
people. Hardest worker and the best guys.
I mean. Yeah. And I think that's incredible, mm-hmm. especially, you know, in the age that we live in where everybody's, where a lot of these kids, they come in and they're very selfish, you know. I mean, there have been former Alabama players that have, you know, been very selfish players. And, you know, when they leave the program, you know, they've made some bad comments. And I don't see that with any of these guys.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's really a great group of kids. And you know, that's part of recruiting as well. And I'm excited, man. So I think my wife has called me to eat. But listen, brother. I may be there Monday at your place, so I'll let you know what's going on.
I hope so. There's no better place to watch. If you're not at the game, there's no better place to watch it than at the mansion. We got this new 86-inch TV. All right, so they win in the game. We're going to say they win the game. So they win the game. We're going to just go full rat poison. When they win, what cigar are you going to light up? You're going to go with one of your Monte Cristo Whites. You're going to go with the Rocky Patel. I have your Rocky Patel 1999. I got one of those right here waiting for you in case you come down. Is that going to be your go-to?
The win will be the other one I like, the Padron something.
Oh, okay, the Damaso. Yeah. Yeah, I love those. I smoked one today. You cannot go wrong with the Damasos, I don't believe.
Yeah. Yeah, that's victory. That's victory, right? That's Tennessee Bama type deal, right?
Yeah, I think so. Well, thanks for coming on, Corey. I really enjoyed our conversation. We didn't really get into the hot takes. We're gonna have to have some hot takes after the season.
Well, yeah, after let's do. But hey, you know, if I come down, we can do. I can be there live with you. So.
Yeah, we'll do a live thing. We'll do the hot takes. It'll be fun. I hope you guys have a. I hope you have a happy New Year. I'm excited to see Christian get back on the field.
Yeah, man. Excited for next year.
Yeah. So, ready to see Bama play on Monday night on primetime, live at the mansion.
It's going to be great, man. And I'm going to definitely let you know. Thanks for having me. You're doing a great job. And of course, you're blowing up now with the social media stuff. Now you're hosting. And like, what a great idea. Tell Randy and the mom. Send my love, Leslie, your beautiful wife. And all the good people down at the mansion, you know, I'm still, even though I rock the Gamecock, I'm Bama, roll tide, roll, and let's go get this, what is it, 18th.
18, man, 18, crazy. All right, man, we'll catch you next time. Thanks for coming.
God bless you, brother. Be blessed.
Okay, well, that was Corey Miller, good friend of mine, love him. He's awesome. Check him out on the twitter.com at Pastor of Pain. The guy's huge. I mean, like, the guy's got the biggest arms I've ever seen. I'm pretty sure. I mean, he works out. He clearly works out. So anyway, that's been the playoff edition. I hope you guys enjoyed it. I hope you had a great time. I had a great time. I always have a good time with myself. That was eye-opening. I mean, he had some really great thoughts on Pete Golding. I hope people on the Twitter, on the Bird app, are listening to what Corey had to say about Pete. Maybe we should lay off a little bit. I don't know. Might be a smart idea. You know, and we got this game on Monday. If you haven't got a place to watch it, we got rooms available at the mansion. So come and check it out. You can get your own private room for the national championship as Alabama goes for number 17. Oh, excuse me, 18. I've been saying 18 all night. And you know what? They're going for number 18. Jeez. When you get that high, you just lose count. You know? I mean, You just lose count. We're about to double up just about everybody in college football. So forgive me, I lost count. So we have a great, we had a great time today. I hope everybody has a happy new year. This is our first show of the new year. And I hope everybody has a great new year. I hope all the best for you. I do. I hope all the best for you. I hope you have a very successful year. I hope that everybody is continuing to be safe and continuing to be healthy. And we will do this again next week, hopefully celebrating a Alabama national championship, number 18, Heisman, pulling off the trifecta, man, the Heisman, the Natty, and the SEC. So that'd be really cool. I hope we see it. I think we will. I feel very confident we will. And then we'll have a special one coming up here shortly with Rocky Dale Davis, the comedian. So that should actually be a funny show. But until then, Roll Tide, and thank you for coming to the mansion and hanging out at the mansion with us tonight. And we will see you soon.